Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's Green Thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See homedepot.com/delivery for details.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Talk is Jericho. It is the pod of thunder and rock and roll. We are here. Holiday madness has just begun. And if you're already stressed out from gift buying, you got to take a load off, clear your mind with a good little laugh from Duff McKagan with the joke of the week.
Hey, Chris Jericho. It's Duff McKagan calling you. I'm out walking my dog here in beautiful Seattle, Washington. You know, I had to get a new app this morning. You know, app on my phone, an app. And then I had put in a password, so I put in chicken, and then it said password needs a capital, so I put chicken Kiev. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Oh, Duff, that's a reach. I'll give you a chuckle for that. Kiev is the capital of Ukraine. I had to think about that one for a minute. Test my geography schools and elementary school history recall. But there you go. Chicken Kiev from Duff McKagan. Coming up with the jokes no matter what you're doing, whether you like it or not, even if you're walking your dog. And listen, if that didn't revive your holiday spirit, maybe this will. My first ever Christmas song. Cover one of my favorite Christmas tunes. All the proceeds from this tune benefiting juvenile diabetes research funding. So here you go. You can pick it up on iTunes or wherever great rock and roll is streaming. This is Chris Jericho and the Christmas Elves kicking off the show, kicking off the Christmas season with Father Christmas by the Kinks and Chris Jericho and the Christmas Elves. Here we go.
Christmas. you're drinking down your wine. Father Christmas, give us some money. We got no time for your silly toys. Father Christmas, please hand it over. We'll beat you up, so don't make us annoyed. Toys to the little rich boys.
All right, that's my version of Father Christmas. You can get it wherever you buy and stream music, iTunes, Amazon, Spotify. Available everywhere, and it benefits a great cause, JDRF, Juvenile Diabetes Research Funding. So rock out and give a little bit back at the same time. All right. Today, you get to meet a handpicked member of the Inner Circle. He's my partner in crime. He's the Spanish sex god. Sammy Guevara makes his Talk Is Jericho debut. He's talking all about his career on the indie scene, how he ended up at AEW, and what the experience has been like so far. He's got stories about his WWE dark matches, training with Booker T at his wrestling school, Reality of Wrestling, even working on the Lucha Underground TV show. So Sammy Guevara is coming up. All right, so I'm here in Indianapolis with the Spanish god, Sammy Guevara, one half of Le Sex Gods, the hottest new tag team in AEW today, and a hand-picked member of the Inner Circle. Not bad.
Not bad at all, man. How you doing?
I was thinking, like, so when you first started with AEW, what were you thinking? Did you think you'd be at this position 8 weeks in?
No, not at all. Definitely not. Just from whenever I had the first match with, you know, Kip at Double or Nothing, you know, to where I am now, it's night and day. It's crazy.
What did you think when you first heard, like, how did you first hear about AEW? And then, because obviously, you know, you've been wrestling for how long?
Nine years.
So you've been around where wrestling companies are going to start and they're not going to start. And this guy's got a lot of money and it never turns out. Because for me, I was like, come on, I've heard this so many times before. What were you thinking when this idea was first came up to you?
Well, yeah, I heard like the internet rumors that this was going to be a thing. But then when I saw the names that were getting behind it, and then, you know, when it did the initial first press conference, I'm like, I need to somehow get a part of this. Like, you know, I didn't know how or what or, you know, but I was like, this is going to be something huge and I need to somehow get there. And then luckily for me, like a couple of days later, I was like contacted for it.
And who was it that contacted you?
Cody.
Because I first saw you working on a show that Cody was at, like the NWA show.
Yeah.
It was like a pay-per-view or something like that.
NWA 70.
He worked with Nick Aldis.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I saw, whose match was, do you remember who you worked with that time?
I was in a four-way with Colt Cabana, Sam Shaw, and Scorpio Sky.
Right. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So there you go. And this is one of those things where you never know who's watching, because I watched that to see Cody's match. And I saw you, and I think I texted at that point. I was already involved with AEW.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Sammy Guevara, we should get this guy. And Cody was like, yeah, we love him. Let's do it. So you never know what's going on.
Yeah, it was in, you know, they told me that story. And I'm like, thank God I decided to, bust my ass that night. Because you never know who's watching. That's just wild to think. For whatever reason, you decided to turn that on, and we never met before that.
No,
either,
never. You know? I'd never even seen you before.
Yeah.
I just was watching the show, saw the four-way, saw you, and I was like, wow, it's pretty cool. So when did you start? You said you've been wrestling for 9 years. How did you kind of get into the business?
The Booker T Academy over in Houston, Texas.
Really?
Yeah, I trained there. I was there less than a year, but that's where I initially started.
So were you like, did you see an ad on TV, or how did you get into it?
No, I don't even know how I actually, maybe Google, something like that. But yeah, no, I was like, this is what I want to do. And, you know, I need to go find a training facility. My original plan was actually to move, and I've never even told anybody this. My original plan was to move to Pennsylvania and start training over at CZW.
That's kind of the combat wrestling zone, like the kind of crazy guys sort of thing.
Yeah, Sick Nick Mondo, all those guys.
Who now works here.
Yeah, which is crazy. I didn't even know that till like 2 weeks ago.
Well, you know what's funny is when we did that whole thing of the Cody parody with the bubbly and
the
all that
mockumentary.
Stuff.
Yeah.
The mockumentary. I recognized the guy. He said his name was Nick because he filmed it. He came and Nathan came over to the bathroom in my hotel and filmed me in the bathtub.
Yeah.
And the next couple weeks, he said, yeah, it's Nick Mondo. And I'd watched his documentary and I'd talked to him a few times about coming on the show. It just never worked out. Like, and he never, like, I never put two and two together.
Yeah.
Same guy.
No, I met him like literally, this was like 2 weeks ago. So we've been on TV, what, 7 weeks, something like that. So yeah, I've seen him every single week and I didn't put it together neither. And then we were at one of the after parties and then who was I with? Another wrestler. And he was like, I think that's Sick Nick. I'm like, nah. And we asked him. It was so awkward.
Because he was the guy that was filming you, probably doing your stuff.
Literally. So we're like, hey, awkward question, man, but are you Nick? Like Sick Nick? He's like, yeah. Cool dude.
So you were going to go to CCW, but because you're from Houston, right?
Yeah.
So and, Booker's obviously the same town.
Right. So it makes way more sense to train there than to move. But yeah, shout out to my mom, Mama Panda. She actually is the one that found it. Yeah, the Booker T Academy. She's like, why are you going to move when, you know, you could just take a metro bus and go over there? I'm like, okay.
Mama Panda.
Yeah.
So is that, what do you call her, Mama Panda?
That's her name on Twitter, but because the panda thing is like kind of my thing. So,
right.
In my vlogs, I say people that are fans of me or watch that, the Panda Fam. So she just kind of rolled with it. She's like, I'm Mama Panda. Yeah.
So what was the deal behind the panda thing?
Really, it's just my favorite animal, you know? And so everything I do, I try to incorporate stuff that I like. Like my old entrance theme song used to be I Am Jesus from Infinite Sorrow, which is like the music they made for the movie Get Him to the Greek.
Oh.
And that was like one of my favorite movies. So I was
Infinite
like,
Infinite Sorrow was Aldous Huxley's band or Aldous Snow's band.
Yes. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, let me incorporate this. And, you know, it's something I like. It's a piece of me. And that's what I try to do with everything I do.
It's like you didn't use African Child to come to the ring.
You know, I don't think this 2019 world would have liked that very much.
I watched that movie the other day, about 6 months ago, and going to Japan. I forgot how freaking good it is.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous.
Still holds up?
Oh, it still holds up.
Okay.
Russell Brand, maybe not so much. I haven't seen him much lately, but the movie is great.
Yeah, I get nervous about watching movies again just
because,
you know, you're a different person now. So your new memory of it might be like, that wasn't as good.
As you remember it.
Yeah. So I kind of stay away from trying to rewatch it. But
so where does the panda come from then, though?
You know, my family has a theory that it was because my dad had because he does like construction. He used to have a company called Panda Painters. And on the flyers was like a panda. And so they think maybe psychologically that's why. I didn't even remember he had that, so, but it is possible.
The first time I ever went to Japan in FMW in 91, there was a guy, he's Damien 666 now.
Oh, yeah.
He was called Ultraman then, and his partner was the Pandita, which was like a luchador dressed literally in a panda costume.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because Japanese love pandas. And he'd come to the ring and hand out little pieces of candy to the fans. And he'd always go for a tope suicida, but instead of diving to the ropes, he would just fall on the ground and do a pose like you did.
Yes.
He's a cute little panda. Heck, and ever since then, I fucking hate pandas.
Oh, okay. So when you saw me, you're like, what the fuck is this?
Well, not to mention, too, the pandas were a big enemy of the WWF.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Right? Because the WWF was the World Wildlife Fund whose mascot is a panda.
Yeah, Dean Malenko, he's like, don't let Vince see you with that. And I didn't understand it because everything just goes over my head. I'm like, what?
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's right, WWF.
The panda.
Yeah.
So you actually, when you first started here the first week, you came out to the ring with a giant panda.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, people are like, why don't you wear that more? I'm like, that thing's a pain to carry everywhere, for one. Like, just trying to bring it on a carry-on, it's...
Well, the thing is, too, as a baby face, as a heel, you probably get more steam out of it as the panda.
Oh, yeah, 100%, you know, like, do I want them to cheer me? Like, oh, he's wearing a cute panda or scary panda, whatever, yeah.
Scary panda. So tell us about the wrestling school. Was Booker actually in the ring teaching?
You know, he wasn't there all the time because I think he just started back with WWE then.
Right.
But whenever he was there, you know, he always gave time to everybody. Mm. And he definitely, he took a liking to me. I wasn't there that long, but every time I was there, he definitely spent time with me and tried to help me as much as he could.
Because of your attitude or your personality? Or
honestly, I don't know. You know, it could be my attitude, but I don't know why anybody helps me do anything, you know?
It's interesting, though, because when we talked about, like you mentioned, only being on the TV for 7 weeks or so. The first week, well, I guess the first single match you had after the Kip one, after the Cody one, was with Hangman Page. Got great heel reaction. Yeah. Like some of it's from being in the Inner Circle, but your natural tendency is a heel.
Oh, yeah. You know, and because I can do all these like flips and all this crazy, amazing stuff, you know, Spanish guy.
Of course.
I kind of got like pigeonholed a little bit like that on the indies because a lot of this stuff, you know, I can do this amazing stuff, but I can definitely make the people hate me. I don't need to do all these flips and stuff, but because I can, everybody I worked with wanted to do that. And so it's my own fault as well, because I could easily be like, I'm not going to do this, but I'm kind of a whatever person too. I'm like, let's go kill it out there, you know?
But it's also kind of the way of the business now. It's like, that's just what guys work with that style in mind. And it's something that I'm noticing in AW, and we're really improving upon it week after week, is you got a lot of guys that came straight out of the indies where there's really no, not that there's rules, but there's no kind of idea on how to make things go from good to great. You know what I mean? Like, just no, look 100%. At your advancements just from the stuff we've done with Inner Circle, with Cody and with Dustin Rhodes, and like, it's a whole new level now that you can incorporate those moves, but now use more of your attitude and charisma.
And the thing that, you know, not a lot of locker rooms have is guys like you, Dean, all the guys in the back that can, you know, tweak things. Not even so much as, hey, don't do that, but just improve it. That was, you know, a lot of locker rooms, there's everybody's around the same age and, or, you know, same mindset. So it's definitely nice being here. And, you know,
you're only as good as the guys you're working with.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, right?
Yeah. Or, you know, if you're me, you're just,
You just transcend until you meet someone like me, and
well,
then you really
start getting
it. I
mean, of course.
Different,
you know,
right?
The GOAT.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Before you started, were you a wrestling fan when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I was talking to my one of my high school friends the other day, and he was like, isn't it crazy? We used to, you know, pretend to be Jericho and HBK on the trampoline, and now you're in a group with him. Yeah. Big fan, you know, growing up.
Did you go to the shows?
Yeah, went to some SmackDown, saw you. Mm. Yeah, I actually saw you versus Punk at one of them. Yeah.
Oh, in Houston?
Yeah.
Oh, right on. Yeah, I had some great matches in Houston. It's such a great wrestling town. Mm-hmm. Were you the type of fan that used to go like try and meet the guys beforehand or after?
Oh, you know, it's funny. I actually snuck backstage at WrestleMania 25.
No kidding.
Yeah. You know, we waited till the show was over and we're by the ring and Triple H has a little sledgehammer by the ring. And then we see they're putting stuff up and we're like, oh, let's go over there. And then I just thought in my mind, like, all right, let me just pretend like I belong. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, acted like I was helping put up the ring skirt or whatever. And the two big security guys just didn't say anything. I walked past and my friend's like, where are you going? I'm like, shut up. Come on. And yeah, then I ended up meeting Randy Orton, Jeff Hardy, Ric Flair. Met a lot of guys. Eventually ended up getting kicked out.
That's the secret. If you act like you're supposed to be there, most of the time no one notices you. If you look like a scared little, like today, pulling up to the venue, there was a dad and his kid just sitting there.
Yeah.
And one of our Atlas security guys is like, oh, there's some kids here. What do you want to do? I'm like, well, I'll sign, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, how do those guys get these? They've just been hanging out there all day. And you're not kicking them out?
Right.
Like, they were just, I thought they were friends of somebody.
No, yeah.
But they were just acting like they were supposed to be
there.
I
know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, they had a little Sammy sign and stuff. Yeah. I'm like,
so how did you meet Flair and Orton and not get kicked out when you met them?
I think there was just, because this was like right as the show ended, so I think there was just so much chaos.
Yeah,
we were just taking pictures and everything, and eventually someone was like, who are y'all with? And we're like,
Randy Orton?
No, we were taking pictures with Jeff, and I looked at Jeff like, say I'm with you, but why the f*** would he say, you know? So he just looks at me like, yeah, who are you with? And I'm like, nobody. And they're like, get out of here. Yeah. But we got to keep all our photos and stuff. They didn't.
Yeah. So once you get that, then at least you get, that's your validation. That yeah. You got something out of it, right?
Oh, that great day.
Did you see that where, I think after the first week, Randy Orton was saying that, oh, I want to work with Sammy Guevara.
Yeah. That was a weird day because they also announced you and me in the main event of week two for Dynamite. And then also Orton putting me over. I'm like, did I die, actually? Like, what world are we in right now?
What did you think when you were told about the Inner Circle?
Oh, you know, it's like one of those things, like, you know, you'll believe it when you see it. So when they kind of told me the idea, it's like, all right, well, we'll see what happens. And then when it actually did happen, I remember going back to the hotel, like, again, what the f***? Like, is this real life kind of thing? Yeah, it's a wild thing, man. But, you know, I always got to try to remember, like, you know, I've worked to get here. And, you know, because it's a weird thing, just, you know, success, seeing if you deserve it or, you know, why me kind of thing, like, why not somebody else? But you just got to remember, like, you know, you work to get here and, you know, regardless of if you should or not, you are there. So make the most out of it.
Right, right. And you're there for a reason. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because when we first started talking about the Inner Circle, I can't remember what the initial name for it was. This is exclusive stuff. Tony's original name, I can't remember what it was. I didn't like it as much. And then I came up with the idea of fist, which would be five fingers forms of fist. And I just thought it'd be some cool merch. Tony didn't care for that one, but I had done something for BT where I mentioned my Inner Circle. Mm-hmm. And the Bucks were like, that's a cool name. Like, what about the Inner Circle? So then who's in it, right? And then one of the ideas was originally was the Lucha Brothers. And I thought, well, they're too much superheroes. Like, I want, like, killers. And Santana Ortiz, perfect.
Yeah.
Then I suggested MJF. And it's like, we should keep him on his own. And then your name was mentioned, perfect. Sammy's great. Now we need a big guy. Who's it going to be? And they wanted to use, they just signed a boxer from the UK.
Oh, right, right.
And I was like, nah, he's not big enough. I said, Hager's the guy.
Yeah.
So we got him. So that's kind of the whole thing get together. It was very much each guy plays a role and has a certain part within the system of the circle, you know?
Isn't that funny? Just like an off comment you made on a random BTE.
Yeah.
It ends up being the name of the group.
You never know. Yeah. It's like Spanish God. I just came up with that in the ring. Dude. And you liked it. Now you're wearing a Spanish God jacket.
Jacket, shirt just came out. Sammy Guevara Pro Wrestling Tees.
There you go.
But I remember being in the ring when you said that. And you could see my face. I'm like, all right, let's go.
What, when you finished training with Booker, is that when you started having matches?
Yeah, I had one match there, and then it was expensive to go there, and my mom was paying for it at the time.
Mama Panda.
Yeah, shout out. But, you know, so it was getting expensive to pay there, so I ended up leaving, and Booker always says he gives you the tools to use them, and it's up to you to, you know, go and apply them and use them. And so I ended up leaving there and just tried to make the most out of it as I could on smaller promotions in Houston. And yeah, it was a struggle, man. When I first left, I was booked like maybe six times in like 2011. And,
oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, cause I was also working at Whataburger at the time too.
Nice.
Yeah. Cause I was like, I told my mom, I'm like, you know, I'm going to work a part-time job and I'll pay for it. You know, you don't got to worry about paying for this because it was getting to a point where it was just too much or whatever.
And so, charging like monthly?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, maybe if I would have talked to him, you know, we could have worked something out. And I don't even know how it is now. That was like 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. But so I was working at Whataburger and then also trying to get booked and nobody knows who I am. So like, yeah, okay.
Off. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, then eventually just started going to Mexico.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Shout out to my my boy Lowrider. You know, he was the first guy who took me to Reynosa, Mexico. Yeah.
Well, first of all, who was your first match against?
Oh, that was at Books at a guy named Joey Jersey. Yeah, he goes by a different name now, but yeah, he was like a Jersey Shore.
Of course, right. And Sammy Guevara is your real name.
Yeah.
Are you Mexican or are you?
I'm Cuban.
Cuban, gotcha. Yeah. So talk about how you got into Mexico and what you thought about, because I've worked in Reynosa before. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what you're talking about. That might have been the place where I went to either Reynosa or Matamoros.
Which
is another one close to where we were like wrestling like kind of in a big arena that had, it was surrounded by a cage.
Okay.
Like a fun sport. And then afterwards, I was super dusty and a guy asked me if I wanted to take a shower and he led me to the showers, which was a toilet. that they had stuck a hose in the back of the toilet and siphoned it and used that water for a shower. And it's like, it's okay, amigo, it's clean.
I'm
like,
clean water.
It's toilet water is toilet water, dude. Mm-hmm. No freaking way. So that was my Reynosa experience.
Yeah, no, that the Mexico, I love it. No, there it was like a long, the entrance had like a long ramp that went up to like the top of the building. Is this ringing a bell or nah?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
But yeah,
but,
it could be the same.
I didn't even have a passport at the time, you know? And so my friend was like, no, you just bring your birth certificate. You could take a bus and walk through. And I was like, all right. And then we were running, the bus was running late and they're like, the show started, man, you need to get here. And they're like, get off the bus and just run to the border, like run past it or whatever. And then I'm like, okay. And after I did it, they were like, we can't believe you did that.
Like, you just ran past?
Like, well, you know, you go through the checkpoint, you walk through the thing. I think you pay like 50 cents or something. I don't know what
it's
it was.
It's like the easiest border to cross.
Literally. No identification required.
Really?
Yeah. Going back is the problem, you know? You just got to make sure you have your birth certificate.
Right.
Yeah, and I did that like every month for a while.
Then of course not checking you for visa or anything.
No,
like that.
Oh, and it was so funny too, because like the first time I went, I got paid I think 300 or 400 pesos, and I had no idea the money difference. I'm from Houston, I never really traveled anywhere, you know. And then I'm like, wow, 400, I'm rich. And then I had to pay my own bus to get back, and it was like way more, you know. Yeah, it was like 50 American dollars, which
I think 300 or 400 pesos is probably about 30 bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of my other friends, shout out Eric Ortiz, he was like, hey man, you don't have enough. I'm like, oh, and I was broke. Like, I had no money whatsoever. So he was like, oh, don't worry, I pay for you.
Oh,
I'm
that's
like,
cool.
Yeah. That's just was like the kindness for him to do that. Right. You know?
Yeah. You meet when you first start out.
Yeah.
Right. So did you work in Mexico more than just the Reynosa shows?
Oh, yeah. Reynosa, Monterrey. I love Monterrey.
Yeah, I lived there for a while.
Yeah.
Great place. Lots of girls there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, the girls, too.
Mm-hmm. Were you wrestling there?
Riot Lucha Libre at the Arena Femenil or something.
Okay, the one that was, it was Plaza Monumental was the place we used to go to.
There was one big one that did.
Yeah.
I'm the worst with names sometimes. And I've been to a ton of other parts of Mexico, and like in my vlogs and stuff, I'm always like, I don't know where the fuck I am. But
did you ever work like for a company, or was it just independence?
Just independence until I started doing AAA. Or I did the crash too.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then, you know, did AAA.
What did you think of the Mexican style?
Oh, I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the thing in like 2011, 12, a lot of the guys in the Texas scene, they didn't really want to do a whole lot. They were really just trying to do this very boring style, in my opinion. And I'm like, yo, we could have a very killer match. And it just seemed in Mexico, everybody was down to do some insane stuff. Especially the guys I was wrestling. Not a whole lot of psychology, definitely, but I was doing a bunch of crazy stuff. Eventually tried to, you know, make it make sense. But yeah, it definitely changed. It was so much fun for me, just because I felt like I had so much more I could give to a match than I was able to. And so Mexico helped open those doors.
Mm-hmm. You know, and as far as the Lucha Libre style and the 2 out of 3 falls and all that sort of stuff, was it hard for you to get used to, or was it not too bad?
It's annoying. I still hate those matches. But mm-hmm.
What do you hate about them?
Just like, man, you got to put together 1, 2, 3, and then like, it's just more difficult, or just more like, I feel like the crowd doesn't care if it's 2 or 3 falls or if it's just 1-on-1. It always goes to 3 for the most part. It's like,
I didn't understand how, and once again, when you're in Rome, you know, but it would be, there'd be captains of the team,
mm-hmm.
and you would have to pin all 3 guys,
yep.
unless you pin the captain. And then you don't have to pin the other 3 guys. But the captain never got pinned. If he did, he was always the last one to get pinned after the other 2 guys got pinned. So it was always, and also too, everyone would seem to get pinned at the same time. You'd work this.
Oh yeah, submissions would all be the same time.
Like, I was in, hurricane around in the middle, mm-hmm. you know, body slam, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
What a coincidence every time, right? Did you ever have any problems down there? Because then sometimes it gets a little bit crazy, Wild West.
Luckily I never went out, you know, unless I'm going with my people.
Yeah.
But like for the most part, I didn't try to venture off too much because people told me many stories. Reynosa, my first one, the newspaper in it had a person with their head cut off, you know, like I guess, cartel or something. Yeah. So it kind of scared me a little bit. I'm sure I'd be fine if I went out. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like you don't look for trouble, trouble won't find you. But there was one story where I had a killer match in Monterey. It was in like a three-way match. One of the sides of the ropes were covered in barbed wire for whatever reason. We didn't f- with that side. But afterwards, the promoter, we go to the top of the building. He's like, or this guy's like, hey, the promoter wants to talk to you. I'm like, okay. And they're translating because I don't actually speak Spanish.
Oh, wow.
A Spanish guy.
You're a true vato. Tejano.
But then he's like, he gives me like a beer. He's like, oh, you had killer match. And they're like translating. I'm like, oh, I don't drink. But I'll drink a water with you. You know, you can drink that. Like, I don't have no judgment or whatever. And they're like, it's disrespectful for you not to drink that. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. Mm-hmm. And like, I kind of just held my ground. And then afterwards, my friend was like, you told him no? Like, what the f***? Like, yeah. But they still booked me. You know?
It's interesting because, like, you know, that was always, and this obviously, once again, 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's different
like, you got to drink with the boys,
oh,
man.
Yeah.
If you don't drink with the boys, they're not going to trust you. Mm-hmm. So what guys would do, I mean, Lance Storm, I finally was able to convince him. Listen, you don't have to drink, but just have a beer in your hand.
Yeah.
Or if worse comes to worse, go in the bathroom, pour it in the damn sink.
100%.
Put some water in there. No one's going to check.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but just at least look. Like now, of course, you don't drink. Who cares?
Right, right, right.
Nobody drinks anymore.
Yeah. Then everything's reversed.
Everything's
now.
Reversed. Then if you didn't, you were committing a cardinal sin.
Oh, yeah.
If you didn't drink with mm-hmm. the guys. You know what I mean?
And I feel like a lot of guys heard those stories, you mm-hmm. know? And so that's why, like, I think a lot of people were, like, scared to, like, not drink. And then so for me to tell someone no, and at least in that promotion, it was like unheard of.
Right.
I'm like, I had a killer match. Like that'll get me bugged. I don't need a.
You never tried to drink at all? Never cared?
I drank when I was like 14.
Gotcha.
You know, and like smoked weed when I was 14, whatever. But just like people in my own personal, like, you know, family members, they would always just get in fights. Like it just never seemed cool. They'd always have money problems. I'm sure now I'd be fine. Like I could probably drink no problem. That was why originally I didn't want to drink, just because it never seemed cool to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no desire to do it now, but I feel like if I had a beer or whatever, it would be nothing. Like it would make a big deal now.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Your style is so athletic and acrobatic. Is that just a natural thing? Did you train as a gymnast?
You know, I actually taught myself how to do everything.
Like, wow.
Well, you know, flips. I say everything, but...
But what makes you decide one day to just go, I'm going to try a flip?
I saw Shawn Michaels do a moonsault on TV, and before I had a trampoline or anything...
Like from the second rope outside or in the ring?
I think from the second rope outside.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can do that. And I was on my mattress just side flipping, bouncing into the walls. Like I remember, man, this is like bringing back memories right now, just like flying into the walls, like hurting my feet, my mom yelling like, what is that? I'm like, nothing.
Sorry, I dropped a book.
Yeah. But yeah, I just was like, I can do that. And the big thing with me is like, just try it, hit the fuck it button. Like that's a lot of things with me. You just hit that button and the worst that's gonna happen is like you're gonna get hurt, you know? And but like we have hospitals, you know, they'll fix you up.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was like my thought process, trying a 630, trying like a corkscrew backflip, like all these crazy things. I just hit that button.
Mm. You know, it's funny. It's classic Shawn Michaels because people will say, you know, who's the greatest of all time and all these other things. And to me, Shawn Michaels is the best because he not only like he was a pioneer for my generation, he still transcended to your generation.
Right.
He was the best character, had the best matches, would do these incredible flying moves, like pick his spots to do them. And I remember when I first came to wrestling school in 1990, I wanted to do a backflip from the top rope because Shawn Michaels did it.
Oh, hell yeah.
And back then you would go hang out at the gym, the Gold's Gym, where the guys would work out when they were in town. And I remember I could only talk to the small guys because I was really scared of the big guys.
Right, right.
And Shawn was the guy, small, he was probably 230 pounds, but you know, I asked him, how do you do a backflip? And he said, you just got to get up there and do it. I guess that's his version of the fucking button.
Yeah, you just got
to
hit it.
Yeah, so the first time, I remember we used to train in a big barn in Calgary, and it was cold outside, and it was maybe February, so it was super cold, but I just went to the top rope, and I said, just get up there and do it. And I did it so far that when I landed, I landed on my ass. So I did a backflip and a little twist.
Yeah, a little backflip and leg
like,
drop.
That was so easy. Yeah, like I could never do it again. Yeah, right? Yeah. But I was like, well, that was easier than I thought. And mm-hmm. once you get it in your head, you get the confidence, then you're backflipping every night, you know, that sort of a thing. But
yeah.
You just got to do it once or twice to get it.
Just hit that button. And that's not just in doing flips and everything, but that can apply to everything in life. And,
right.
You know, people are like, oh, I want to try this, but I don't know. It's like, just hit the button, you know, go for it. It works out. It works out. If not, at least you can say you tried.
That's right. So when you came out of Mexico, when did you start working in the States? Like, besides Houston, how'd you get out of Texas, I guess?
Yeah. You know, I was taking long bus rides. I took a 30-hour bus ride from here to like Philadelphia.
From Texas to Philly?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, because like I'm very observant. Observant?
Observant, yeah.
Words.
Nailed it, yeah. Use your words.
CTE. No. but no, like I just kind of look around and see what everyone else is doing. And it just seemed like people in the locker rooms I was sharing were very content with where they were. And I didn't really see people trying to get out or trying to be more than this. And that's fine if that's what you want to do. But me, I wanted to do so much more. And so I'm like, I'll lose out on money. Like, I'll take these long ass bus rides. I'm going to do literally everything I can to get out of this state, escape this place. And so I was doing that, you know, until eventually they were like, all right, let's start flying this kid. Like, yeah.
So what companies was that for?
IWC. I did some lucha shows in Denver, you know, just everywhere I could, and, you know, tried to network everywhere.
Just word of mouth, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, also with the YouTube, once I saw like, you know, YouTube's growing or whatever, I'm like, okay, I need footage of my matches so I can send to people so people can see me. Because no one, you know, the people that are not at this show is who I'm trying to like get the attention of. And so that's what really started my whole YouTube channel. And I started doing the vlogs really just because I couldn't get my matches from promotions. Like they'd be like, oh, we're going to make DVDs. Never see a DVD ever. I'm like, can you at least just send me my match or can I bring my camera? Like, yeah, you can bring your camera. I'm like, okay. So I'd have just random people in the crowd recording my match.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know, hoping they don't steal my camera. But I'm like, I need this footage.
So you would just go and give it to a random fan or someone that you knew at least?
Yeah, some way, you know? Like, it's not like I know these people more than a day.
Right.
But if I'm at the merch table, I'm having a good conversation with someone, I'm like, hey, man, do you mind doing me a favor? Like, and they're like, of course. I'm like, if I give you my camera, you know, can you record this? And they're like, sure. It was never the best footage ever, you know? It's like far back, you know, but
yeah,
I'm just like, I need whatever I can get
just know? To watch or to use
to for use highlight for reels? Highlight reels to send matches. If it's like an okay quality, if I had a badass match, send that to whoever. I'm a networking guy, like online I'm messaging. I can't tell you how many people I've messaged, never got a return message from, but you know, I'll message 10 people to get one message back.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what kills me when I hear guys saying stuff like, oh, I feel like I'm doing everything. I had a conversation with a friend of mine just recently. He's like, you know, I feel like I'm doing everything. I'm like, how many people have you hit up today? He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, how many companies have you hit up? He's like, none. I'm like, all right, well, off. Like, you're not doing everything. So I try to do every avenue that I could, you know, and social media is a tool, so you got to use it.
I think that's something very important for people to listen to and hear, because I did the same thing when I started. Once again, even though it was, you know, almost 30 years ago, the concept is the same. Like my dad would always say, you got to sell yourself. No one's going to pick up the phone and call you. You got to be calling them. So I was always doing, this is back, you know, there was no texting or emails. It was writing a letter and it was picking up the phone and cold calling people. I cold called Chris Benoit. Wow. I cold called Ricky Santana in Puerto Rico. And I got a list of contacts from some of the older guys in Calgary. And I was writing New Zealand and, you know, sending tapes to Australia. And of course, nothing ever happened. But at least I felt like I was doing something. And one time somebody had seen something of something and get me a gig, which maybe one point gets you another gig. And that's how you have to do it. But a lot of guys, and, you know, and girls, this instant gratification society we live in, they're not going to pick up the phone and call you. It's, mm-hmm. it's very smart. You got to be hustling.
Yeah, that's what it is. And you said it perfectly. You're selling yourself.
Right.
And that's what I always saw. I'm like, okay, I'm basically an item. I'm this bottle of water, whatever. Like, I need to show that I'm the best one.
Yeah.
I'm the core water among these Dasanis, you know?
Yeah, you can't have your show without this bottle of water
exactly.
on it.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, and you know, it's all trial and error too. I did a lot of things that didn't work out.
Like
you know,
what?
Like just promos where I'm being this best ever, you know, but I'm also just doing counterproductive stuff. Like I'd be like, I'm the best ever. All these guys are on these shitty shows with me. Like I'm just going off, but then I'm like, oh, I just insulted the shows that are actually booking me.
Right.
Like, but I didn't have anybody telling me otherwise.
And also insulting yourself. You're the best ever while you're working on shitty
exactly.
shows, right?
Yeah. A lot of counterproductive stuff, but it was all just trial and error, man.
Yeah.
You know, going for it.
Well, and that's what somebody told me a long time ago. When you're cutting a promo, and I see it so much to this day. This guy sucks, and this guy sucks, and this guy sucks, and this guy sucks. You never do that. You talk about how great he is. I mean, this guy is one of the best performers I've seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not as good as me, but he's one of the best. And that way, when you beat him, you're beating somebody.
Right.
If you lose, then you lost to someone that you said before was one of the best, you know, upcoming guys, whatever it may be. A lot of people don't understand that concept of the promo, you know,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well, and that's why you are, you know,
yeah,
the promo master.
I remember Miz one time was talking before the show. They used to have pre-shows.
Mm-hmm.
I think they still do, like the pre-show for WrestleMania. For
right.
example. He was so sad he was on the pre-show. I'm like, listen, man. I said, you got to look at it this way. It's the first thing people are seeing. It's the most important part of the show. If it's not in the main show, whatever, you're out there. It's mm-hmm. like, if you're out there, this is the place to be. You do not want to miss this show. There's no pre-show. It is the show.
Right.
Spin it that way. And at least, you know, people will buy it or they won't, but at least you'll feel better.
And also yourself. You could look at it like, hey, you get to chill the rest of the day. You get it over with first. That's how I'd spin it too. Like,
how is it for you? I was going to ask you, when you're used to working, I mean, you're probably working 2-3 days a week, mm-hmm. if you could. Now, you know, you're here in AEW. Some nights, like tonight, we're not doing wrestling. Next week, I don't think we're having matches. But the stuff we're doing is still very important. How is that for you? Were you able to accept that easier? Are you still like, I want to work every day? Or...
Man, I'll definitely accept it for sure. Because, like 2-3, sometimes even 4 times in a week, like throw my body at the ground.
Right.
And, you know, if you look at me, I'm not the biggest of guys. So these bumps, I feel like I don't got a whole lot of cushion to absorb them.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, you know, some weeks we do some stuff that's not particularly a match. I feel like it's beneficial to my body. I get to rest up. Which, like in February, or not in February, in July, I ended up hurting my knee at one of my last like independent dates. And then we had that big off from like Fight for the Fall, and then there was All Out, and then it was TV. And I didn't wrestle at All Out. So it actually, you know, even though it killed me, I wasn't on that show. And it, like being there watching everyone kill it, I was like, I need to get in there. But my knee is definitely thankful, and now I'm like 100% basically.
Right. You took that time. You had no choice, but you needed it.
Yeah.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
When you talk about your vlogs, I mean, it's such an important part of the business today, like you said, and a lot of guys don't take advantage of that. I know I don't. For a lot of reasons, but for you, it's become kind of part of your gimmick.
Yeah.
Has it helped raise your profile quite a bit?
Oh, definitely. I mean, because like, you know, if you have a killer show or whatever on the independents, I'm also showing that. So other people are like, oh, I need to go check this show
out.
Right. Or I need to go see this show. It definitely helped me just network or all that. But it's hard, man, because in the beginning, you're getting no views and stuff like that. But I'm just like, it's going to pay off eventually. Luckily, now I'm getting quite a bit more than I did, you know, thankfully, you know, when AEW started. But you know, that's why a lot of guys stop. I see a lot of people start it like, oh, I'm going to do a vlog too. They tell me, ask me for advice, and I'm happy to give you advice. But I know after 2-3 episodes of getting 10 views, a lot of people just quit. And you just got to keep pushing through it, really.
That's, you got to build your fan base somewhere, right?
Exactly. And I've really started doing it in like 2015. So I've done like one a week for a while.
Yeah. It's the steady release of it, the steady release of content that kind of builds up your fan base.
Content
too, right?
is key. Like on every platform, Instagram, whatever, you don't have to do vlogs, but just everything, man. I see a lot of people not using these tools. Content is key, not just in wrestling, but in everything you do. If you're trying to do something entertainment, you need content.
And be consistent. Like I know for Talk to Jericho, we put them out every Tuesday at midnight and Thursday at midnight. And if something happens where there's a glitch or heaven forbid, no Wi-Fi to send the intro and you got to put up in the morning, I'll hear about it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, where's the show? I'm sitting here waiting for the show. And that's good to know that people are so like it's an appointment driven, show.
Yeah, I've been doing mine on Tuesdays. That's why I've been putting out the vlogs. And if I'm late or whatever, I'm seeing people like, it's 1 p.m. You normally upload at 12. What's going on? I'm working on it. Leave me alone.
We just did a Fozzy show the other day in San Antonio, and it was like an 8th anniversary of the Rock Station in town, and they had some wrestling matches on it.
Oh, yes. I had a couple of people hit me up about that.
And it was RCW, it was River City Wrestling, right? And they said, yeah, Sammy Guevara used to work here. We know Christy Janes was saying that.
Yes.
And a couple of the other guys were mentioning it. So they're like, you're kind of like the guy that you're the big star now for the local guy.
I know.
Big,
it's wild, man. Like the fact that people are hitting me up like, hey, you know, can you help me get on that? I'm like, when did I become this guy? Like, it's a weird feeling.
You get that quite a bit, right? Yeah. Have you worked overseas a lot?
Yeah.
Anywhere?
Not a whole lot, but like I did Japan a couple times.
No kidding. Where did you go for that? What company?
DDT. And then Kaintai Dojo.
Okay.
Yeah. I was there in the summer, last summer, for 6 weeks. Yeah.
Wow.
And that was the longest I've ever been away, ever. Like, normally it's like a week, 2 weeks, 6 weeks.
6 weeks in Japan in the summer.
Yeah.
For Kaintai Dojo?
No, DDT.
DDT, but I'm sure that's probably a lot of gymnasiums and that.
Oh, yeah.
No air conditioning in there.
Oh, it was definitely an experience, for sure.
Were you working all 6 weeks?
Yeah. I think I had like 20 matches, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was like to a weekend or something like that.
What'd you think of that?
Dude, it was great. I love Japan. I was actually in Japan when I got the Twitter DM or whatever, the email basically asking about my contract status. I woke up in Japan. I was like, what the f-? Oh, okay.
I don't have a contract status.
Yeah. Like the UK, I did that for Southside.
Let's talk more about Japan. So tell us about your thoughts about Japan.
Dude, Japan's awesome. I love it over there. Like, I'm a big anime guy, like Dragon Ball Z, all that stuff. And so I got to go and do a bunch of sightseeing. I climbed Mount Fuji. Yeah, a ton of stuff, which you can go watch at Sammy Guevara on YouTube. Vlog the whole thing.
There you go. Was there other foreigners on the tour with you?
Mike Bailey.
Because that's Kenny's old company, right?
DDT? Yeah, yeah.
Or I guess his current company.
At first, there wasn't a... So, like, the first 2 weeks, I was the only...
Wow.
Yeah, so it was definitely like, yo, no one speaking English. But the DDT treated me so great, you know, and tried to make sure I was good. And I have a really good friend over there that took me everywhere. And so...
How did you get booked over there?
How did I? I did Lucha Underground.
Okay.
And then I guess they saw that stuff and...
Wow.
Kikitaro hit me up and he was like, hey, they want to book you. I'm like, let's do it.
What'd you think of the food over there?
Smaller, you know? It's expensive. I remember I made like 40,000 yen on merch the first night. And I was like, I'm rich.
Again.
Yeah.
And that's about $400.
Dude, yeah. And then like less than 2 weeks later, I'm like, I have 1,000 yen left. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. Yeah.
Is that how it is, that company, they let you sell your own merch?
Yeah, yeah. And then it depends how you set it up. I got paid at the end of the tour. And so basically the merch money was the money I lived off of.
Gotcha.
And so when I was like, oh, I've got 1,000 yen left, I'm
going to eat some Pocky chocolate sticks for the rest of the tour, right?
Luckily, I had a show the next day and was able to sell some more merch. So
Everybody
that bought some merch in Japan, thank you.
What about Lucha Underground? That was seemed like it had all the steam in the world and then just kind of futtered out.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, that was definitely a cool little thing going on.
What was your name there?
Still Sammy Guevara. Oh, okay. I only did season 4. Mm. And it almost didn't happen either, because I was actually signed to this other company, Aero Lucha, at the time. Yeah. I
think was that with the Harris brothers or something?
Yeah, I think they're a CBD company now. But.
Gotcha. Well, it's funny because Conan worked for all of them.
Yeah, yeah. Conan was my... That's how I got in there.
He loves you because you're a fellow Cubano.
Yeah. Right? I feel like he didn't care at all for me when he saw me. Then he learned I was Cuban. He's like, oh, we need to book him more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He always says, yeah, Sammy Guevara, man, he's a good guy, he's Cuban. And I'm like, yeah, you say that every time.
I love Conan. But yeah, so Lucha Underground wanted like first rights, and I'm like, well, I just signed with these other guys. So they're like, okay, well, we can't use you. I'm like, well, damn. And then I think there was like some passport issue or something the day before they're about to film. So some guys couldn't go over there. And then they hit me up at like 10 p.m. and were like, hey, can you get on a 6 a.m. flight tomorrow? And I'm like, well, yeah, but like, did you sort everything out with them? Because they were just going to do like a working agreement or something. They're like, yeah, yeah, it's fine. We worked it out. And I'm like, all right, cool. And so, yeah, that's how I... And then because it was so last minute, we didn't change my name or anything. They're like, what do you want your name to be? I'm like, well, all my gear says Sammy Guevara. They're like, well, we guess you're Sammy Guevara.
Right.
Yeah. I actually worked a swagger over there. Did a big, crazy 20-foot moonsault.
Off the, was it like a balcony type thing? Oh my gosh.
On to just him.
Did he catch you? It's hard to find. That's a long fall.
Well, it's all my fault anyways. He was very against the idea. I was like, I thought it was my last night there because I was getting my leg broken. So I was like, oh, well, let's go out with a bang.
If I really break my leg, who cares?
Yeah,
method acting.
Yeah. And so I did it. As I'm going backwards, I see, oh, the ring steps are kind of close.
Oof.
So in midair, or not in midair, as I land, I roll to the side so I don't roll back and bonk my head. And I rolled my ankle.
Oof.
And so it basically was like a broken ankle thing. So I roll him in the ring, and the last thing I need to do is just a springboard. And I'm like, come on, don't f me up right now. Like, come on, do this. And luckily, my body didn't give up on me.
You did a springboard
Jeez Louise, man. And it's funny because we had to do physicals, which we probably should have done beforehand, but that whole season was crazy.
Pass backwards, yeah.
Yeah, and so at the end of it, I had this like swolled up ankle from that, and the doctor's like, you know, you have a club foot, because he tells me to jump on one foot. I'm like, oh yeah, you know, born with that, you know.
Did you have any idea?
No.
That you had a club foot?
Oh, no, I don't have a club. It was just that swollen.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was bad, man.
Club foot Sammy.
Yeah. And it, like when I'm jumping too on one foot, my joints are just popping. It's like,
oh my gosh, that's hard to do because you springboard. You got to not only jump up, but you got to stand on the rope for a split second.
Yeah, that's
why
I was scared. I was like, oh, if I fall right now, just kill me.
See, that's what happens when you're like, you're just young and don't give a shit. I would be like, I can't even try. I'm going to hobble up the top rope and try it from there instead.
But that's how like I'm willing to do some crazy shit for opportunity, man.
Right.
Like I wouldn't have done that for just nothing. Mm-hmm. But Lucha Underground at the time was one of my biggest opportunities. And if that's the last time I'm going to be seen on that program, I'm going out with a bang.
Did you? So that was all on TV, that stuff.
Yeah. El Rey Network.
Was that your first kind of TV exposure?
I did Impact when they did the Super X Cup in like 2017.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Sammy Guevara again?
Yeah, yeah.
You get around,
dude. I got to be Sammy Guevara everywhere, man. Yeah. Even my first match, I was Sammy Guevara.
Never tried to change it.
Well, I used to go by the name Zero.
Mm.
And the reason, because I'm ahead of number one, because it's 0, 1, 2, 3. Yeah.
That's not bad.
You know, that's what I went with. But then Facebook wouldn't let you have that as a name. Unless you made like a like page or something. And
really?
I was like, well, I'm not popular enough to have a like page. And so
you can't use the word zero as a Facebook type?
Yeah, because you need first and last.
Oh.
And so I was like,
Mr. Zero.
Yeah, right. Maybe that would have worked. But I just was like, okay, well, networking wise, it's going to be impossible for people to find me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went, all right, let's just go Sammy Guevara.
Yeah. Smarter. Yeah. Was Lucha Underground, was it kind of filmed like Hollywood style? Would you do cuts and different angles? Did you just basically have one match and that would be it?
You'd have one match. I heard that like if stuff didn't go good, they would just go back out and do it again or whatever. But you can even tell in some of the episodes, like the crowd, like, They'll be like telling the people, basically giving the hand gestures like, react now. And so like they'll start the Lucha Underground chants. Like I saw one, Vampiro was literally like trying to get them to start the Lucha Underground during my match. So
Right.
Yeah.
And it didn't work?
No, it worked. It worked.
But were they like hired extras or something like that, like Hollywood style? The people in the crowd?
I'm not. Gotcha. I think they all got in for free though. The crowd, yeah.
Right on.
And they had to put away their phones and all that stuff.
Yeah, it seemed like that kind of had some good idea behind it. But like you said, it was kind of a hard sell as it continued on. And people are getting killed and there's monsters, right, all that sort of stuff.
And plus it's like it's a film show kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's not live and it's way like months later it comes out. So it's like everybody can just see the spoilers and all
right,
that stuff.
Right. So did because you didn't have that crazy like 10-year contract.
No, I see, this is one thing, like everything kind of worked out, even though I probably would end up signing it because they wanted to use me a lot more. But then they were like, oh, well, you're only here for one season, because that's what I signed, just a one season thing. So they're like, oh, we can't use you a whole lot because you're just doing one season. Mm-hmm. So who knows? Maybe I would have had a lot more success in Lucha Underground if I would have signed this 20,000-year contract. But
well, everyone had to get taken out of it anyways.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Now it's pretty much, have they announced for sure that it's done?
No. Really? As far as I know.
There's still some of those, I know Penta and Phoenix were there. Mm-hmm. And I know, it's, like you said, Hager was there. Yeah. And Jeff Cobb had some problems getting out of it.
Yeah, no, you know? Thunder Rosa, right. Daga, all these guys.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
What about WWE? Did you ever get any chance to go there? Did you want to go there?
I did a couple dark matches, and when Adam Rose was doing his
the lemon heads or lemon drops, so they were.
You know, it's actually funny. You were doing, I think, a Periscope or something, or I don't know.
Periscope?
Maybe it was
Tout.
Yeah, right. You were doing something. You walked by us and you're like, hey, here's his fun guy, whatever the actual name was for the, you just ran by and I was like, hello. So that's in the archive somewhere.
You'll find it.
Yeah,
I think was it the lemon drops?
No, I don't,
it was,
think
the, Adam Rose
rosebuds,
that's it. Yeah, the rosebuds.
I was like, it's something.
So what kind of dark matches were you having there?
I had an actual dark match, or an actual match with the Matadors.
Okay. Oh, with the Primo and Epico?
And when they had the Bull there, too, at the time. It was me and Laredo Kid, and we had actually a really cool match. I did the 630, missed it, but I was like, yo, I'm showing out. Like, I'll do whatever. Yeah. And shout out to those guys, because they gave us so much more than they had to.
They're really good, man.
Yeah.
They're great workers. I think they never get what they deserve there. Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be great to have them here, actually.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. We could do that match again, man. Yeah. I remember the ref, when he was making the three count, he was like, this is the greatest dark match I've ever seen.
Oh, right on.
And and then it was funny, too, because like, he was like saying thank you or whatever as he's pinning me. And I was just so, you know, a kid, like, I just wrestled for WWE, whatever. Yeah. I'm like looking up at the sky and he's like, hey, man, you good? I'm like, oh, sorry. Thank you. But did a couple dark matches like that.
What, did you get any response after that match? Any feedback?
Yeah. Mark Henry, he told us, like, you know, we had a killer match, but basically said, like, you know, don't get a big head. Like, this is a good moment, but keep working hard. And,
but nothing official, like, you know, no one's watching. Which is weird. You think if they're giving you a dark match, someone should be watching it to at least see what you guys are doing.
Right. But I don't know. A lot of times when, at least the vibe I got, it's like, these are the extras. Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's weird. I did have a WWE tryout in 2017. And I think that was just to get me in the system. I don't think I was ever getting signed.
Where was that at?
That was in Orlando.
Is that the one where you do all the drills and everything?
Yeah,
like that?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that. Because people tell me all the time, I got a WWE try, and I'm like, it's great that you can wrestle, but you better get your cardio.
Exactly, man.
Because it's all cardio stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's what's funny. Like, they'll have guys do like military style stuff for like potentially a 5-minute squash or 2-minute thing. Mm-hmm. Funny stuff. But
right.
Yeah, no. It was definitely hard, man. Like, yeah, this I was doing a bunch of cardio leading up to that. I had the elevation masks on. Like, I was doing all sorts of
what
stuff.
What kind of stuff would they make you do there?
just like running the ropes, dropping down over bags, high knees, holding onto the top ropes, all sorts of stuff. And we do that in like five different rings and stuff like that, and then line back up and do all sorts of different stuff.
Who was watching you? Who was kind of watching? Who was in it with you?
Regal was there.
Yeah.
Norman Smiley.
Brookside.
Yeah.
Those type of guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so who was in the camp with you?
Ricky Starks, who's NWA Power now.
Oh.
Yeah. Or that's the name of the show. Whatever.
Yeah.
Power. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Did anybody make it? Did anyone get signed?
Some football players, I think. I don't think any actual wrestler got signed. Yeah, it was like a collegiate wrestler got signed.
You're almost at a detriment because you had the audacity of getting into the wrestling
business.
That's
how it felt, man. Like, it literally felt like, hey, you want to do this for a living? But these like models, ex-football players, whatever, it's like they treated them so good, and it's like almost shame on you for wanting to be a wrestler.
Right, shame on you for actually going and training and touring the world, right?
It was it just seemed like when the cameras were on, they really played it up. Like, it just seemed like a whole gimmick to me. And especially because, like, everybody's chill, blah, blah, blah. Camera turns on. All right, blah, blah. I start yelling. I'm like, all right, I see what this is. All right. Yeah. It definitely opened my eyes, though, man. I wouldn't want to be there, maybe ever, but definitely not now. Because just the way they treated, maybe it's different now. I don't know. But at the time, it was just like, yo, unless I'm somebody, like, it's going to be hell here.
And you can see that too. Like, if you were signed there, you would go to, NXT, and work the Florida routes, or maybe you'd get called up, or maybe be one of the random guys that's just doing run-ins right now. But, it's one thing I love about AEW, and I say it to everybody, is, we have a bunch of guys here that it's not like Impact was WWE cast-offs per se. Mm-hmm. They're people that made a definitive decision. I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
Whether it's me or whether it's Moxley or Hager or you or Cody or different levels of guys who went, maybe we'll want to try something new.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you think of what your fate would have been, and who knows, maybe you would be on Raw as the world champion.
It's very possible, but I feel like I'm very observant, and I just saw the writing on the wall, and I feel like that's what I'm good at, is just seeing the writing on the wall, like, all right, this is what it's going to take to get somewhere, and like, just seems like I could do a lot more on the independents, whatever, grow my name. I don't necessarily need to just have that logo there. I feel like that's what a lot of guys, they get offered this logo and they're like, okay, screw it. You're not going to use me, but I got this logo.
Right. I can say I'm a WWE superstar.
Yeah.
So did that come into your mind when you thought about signing exclusively with AEW?
What?
Well, that you knew that you wouldn't be doing the indies anymore, and were you a little bit scared that you're just signing for the logo, or what really kind of made you feel good about signing here?
Just the people that were behind it. Something I felt like I saw the writing on the wall. I just saw that this was going to be something huge, and it just seemed different. It seemed like I could potentially have a good shot here, and be Sammy Guevara the way I think Sammy Guevara should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I went with it.
What are your favorite parts about AEW so far?
The schedule, the pay. What's crazy too is just like people who, I'm getting recognized more and more. I was at the mall earlier this week and I got recognized twice, and not at the same time, like two separate things. I was buying a hat that I'm wearing right now, and the dude's like, because they'll tell you, like, put in your email, whatever. I'm like, okay, it's, blah, blah. I almost said my email just now.
we'll edit it out.
Yeah. But, and then he's like, there's a wrestler named Sammy Guevara. I'm like, oh, yeah? You're talking to him. He's like, I knew it.
Yeah, I knew
that was you. And so, like, it's just...
I love the fact, and listen, and people are awesome, too, but it's like, there's a wrestler named Sammy Guevara. I knew it was you. You didn't happen to think, like... It looks like him. It's the same name.
Right.
But it can't be him.
There's no way.
I had one of my favorites was about 6 or 8 months ago. I was renting a car. And it's like, who you look like? Chris Jericho. It's funny because your name is Chris Irvin. And that's his real name too.
Mm-hmm.
And they even have a show in town tonight. It's so funny. I'm like, okay, so I look like Chris Jericho. You know we have the same real name. And Chris Jericho's in town tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But you neglected to put two and two together. Actually, point one and point one together. This must be Chris Jericho.
You got tattoos.
It's everything. But I mean, some people I think it freaks people out sometimes when they meet somebody in person that you might have just seen on TV.
Right. Yeah. I met Gabriel Iglesias after like WrestleMania 27.
Right.
And I remember seeing him and just, you know, thinking like, that looks like, and he was wearing his own shirt. I'm like, oh shit, it is. Yeah. Like, you know, it's such a trip just seeing people you don't normally see in person.
Right. And meanwhile, he's a big fan of AEW.
Yeah.
He's at Double or Nothing. You know, he's on the cruise.
He's going to be on the cruise.
On the cruise.
That's
going to
be cool.
Yeah. It's going to be great, man. Yeah. I think that's it's such an exciting atmosphere here. For all those reasons, like you said, and it's like one uncharted waters. Like there's nothing guaranteed. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if we went to WWE, you know, it's there forever. I mean, right. it's not going anywhere for us. It's like, we don't really know, but it's exciting. And it's been successful so far. So it is kind of taking a chance and trusting ourselves as performers.
Yeah. And I mean, it just goes back to the hitting that button, man, mm-hmm. you know, go for it and see what happens.
Right,
you know?
All right. Last couple questions for you. What's been your favorite part of AEW that you've been on so far?
Like
the segment that you've been on or a match or whatever. And what's your favorite match that you've ever had?
Favorite segment? That's probably when you called me the Spanish God, man. Yeah. Because that's kind of what I'm wearing the freaking jacket right now.
That's the thing now.
Yeah.
You know what? It was funny too when we did the Cody parody and you had the line.
Actually, that right there. Oh. Sorry to interrupt you, but. The kiss on the cheek, man, that cracked me up so much.
But your stuff is great too, because people are like, you know, who wrote the script for that? I'm like, well, no one wrote the script.
Yeah,
I had an idea, but I just said to everybody, just play it straight, talk about how great Chris Jericho is. So they thought that I wrote those lines that you said, for example.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, you just came up with that.
Yeah,
you know, like, he's the face of this company because he's the champion, he's the champion because he's the face of this
Literally,
company.
It was like we're just spitballing, like, oh, yo, what if we did this, and like I try to be dead serious. Yeah. Like, it was awesome.
The youngest AEW champion in history.
It's
like,
in
that's
the prime of his life.
That's totally you. Like, yeah. that is not like when I just saw that in the edit. So just people that know, and that was the same for everybody. And that's another thing that we do here. We're not writing scripts and taking multiple take one, take two, take mm-hmm. three, take four. What do you think is going to fit? And then Nathan, the director, pulled that out. And suddenly it's like, you look like a genius.
Yeah.
It's great stuff.
Yeah. And it really gave me respect just for how much goes into making something like that.
Right.
You know, because everybody, you know, they give me all the credit for that line. You know, I did say it, but, you know, it's like this big collaborative effort thing. And it's like, damn, this is a lot more moving pieces than you would think.
It was a very, very cool moment for sure.
Yeah.
What's your favorite match you've ever had?
Man, I hate all my matches.
You hate them?
Yeah. I feel like I'm my worst critic.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Has there ever been one that you went, it was not bad?
The Cody one, you know.
That was a great match.
People put that over.
Hey, dude, you were in the very first match in AEW television history.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
You know, if you can go inside my body for that thing, man, I was like, all right, well, here we go, you know, because I put a lot of pressure on myself. You know, I'm sure there was a lot of pressure just on me in general. But, you know, first one on TV, first thing people are going to see, if this sucks, like, I shouldn't be wrestling. That's basically like the amount of pressure I put on myself is like, if I do shitty tonight, like, maybe this
And once again, also knowing, too, that you were handpicked for that.
Exactly. You know, that's just like, all right, well, let's kill it. Mm. And yeah, so that one, you know, a lot of people put that over. I remember I went to the back and just everybody putting it over, but I'm always like such a critic of myself. I'm like, what'd you really think? Like, I'm pulling people aside, like, what'd you really think? They're like, no, I loved it. I'm like, all right, where's Ashton? You know, is this a joke?
And you're like, I should have taken a right step instead of a left step. Stupid.
It's some stupid stuff nobody else pays attention to. But
that happened to me last week twice. There was two little foibles of things that I did, and afterwards I was like, oh, I hated it. And everyone's like, that was a great match. The match we had. There's something that just bothered me so much. I'll never say what it was.
Right.
But I came out of there going, I hate when that happens. And everyone's like, what a great match and awesome, blah, blah, blah.
Man, I hear it was a really good one.
I love that.
Yeah.
And when that's what you say to someone when they've had a bad match.
Yeah.
And you see them backstage, like, oh, I didn't see it. How'd it go? I heard it was good.
Dude, that was my whole thing on BTE for a while.
Oh, was it?
Just because, like, it was just something random. Like, oh yeah, I didn't see it, but man, I heard it, good stuff. And it just turned into a thing. Because so many times, I know you've definitely heard this, or maybe you even said it, I don't know.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, how'd it go, man? How was it? You know, the other one was like, you know, how'd it go? It was what it was.
That one's so depressing to hear. Like, maybe you're already thinking like, oh, wasn't that good? And then you hear that and like, oh,
and now I know it was the shits.
Yeah. And then maybe you didn't even see it and you just say that.
I know, exactly.
That's awesome.
Dude, it's been great talking to you. And like I said, I'm very excited to have you part of the Inner Circle.
Yeah,
you're doing great. You're the right-hand man, which, you know, in every Kung Fu movie, that means you're going to end up turning on me at some point.
No. The people were saying this too. They're like, when are you going to go for the bell? I'm like, he's like a father figure to me. Why in the hell would I do that? Never.
Hey, man, we're the sex gods.
That's right. The sex gods, baby.
Yeah. Thank you, dude.
No, thank you.
All right, thanks again to the Spanish sex god, Sammy Guevara. Check out his YouTube channel. Just search Sammy Guevara. He posts new vlogs every single Tuesday. All right, coming up next Wednesday, it's the Highway Man. James Storm is going to be here. Oh, yeah. Oh, she didn't get it, baby. Until then, stay hard, stay hungry. Peace, love, and hugs. Be safe this weekend and have yourselves a big good boy.